Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the BH Sales Chemical Holistic Healing Hour. Your host and moderator, me, Grandpa Bill, welcome one and all. Some of you via invitation, where applicable, might teach Church Mice, Peter and Paul, ubiquitous audience, one and all. Thank you for continuing to join us daily, now going into our sixth year of doing daily episodes, approaching the 1830th mark or some such thing of consecutive shows. That's due to yourselves by paying it forward. We do three audio versions daily, blessed to be heard on most platforms where you'd hear any podcast show. And my YouTube offering daily is Grandpa Bill's Grunts and Groans at Bill Holt 8792. Please do give us a thumbs up, subscribe, share us, like us, where you're comfortable in doing so. By continuing to pay it forward, we are growing exponentially with your help. Our network, your network, the network, all for the greater good, always food for the mind, the body, and the soul. Today, we'll be here for about 30, 40 minutes. Going to continue today in the Holistic Healing Hour version of our show, talking about meridians that we sort of broached in yesterday's topic, in topics, a recent note. But we're also going to delve into some categories that I just started to talk about in this, now embarked in my Reiki 3 training, the certification and combination of self-teaching Mandarin, studying Chinese culture and a little bit of Japanese culture today as it pertains to Qigong and a faction of our show's workouts for geriatrics. We come back after the 10-second break, going to talk about the samurai and the ronin and how they're closely yanked and linked yet distinct figures in the tapestry of feudal Japan. This is all encompassed into a video series of Qigong that I'm watching and extrapolating information from simultaneously to doing my own research from the history side of cultures, Far Eastern, and incorporating those into the exercises. Keeping active extends the lifespan and is the central factor in the lives of centurions, for sure, in these cultures. That's the new 70, walking more and gardening within the garden of life. So we'll be back in 10 seconds and delve into samurais and ronin. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back, and thanks for doing so. So Grandpa Bill, now in full retirement for a couple of years, and continues to do these programs in self-enrichment. We've talked about many of them over the last year that just ended, calendar year 2023, and all of those daily shows, weeks of, months of, in-studio guests, expertise within all the categories we talk about. So in my faction of Reiki, 1 and 2 certified, actually in studio here locally with Dr. Dustin Sulak, Sensei Dr. Dustin Sulak on Reiki 1 version, and then Reiki 2, well, 1 and 2 online as well, and then processing into Reiki 3 with Dave Nelson. Highly recommend the Infinite Reiki Institute online. So I've been also embarked in an independent outside research on not only self-inducing and teaching myself Mandarin, which we'll talk about later at other shows, but the Mandarin culture is fascinating in Tai Chi, yoga, and a bit of Qigong, but I want to talk about the Japanese side of it now. which is embarked in about the fourth video, I believe, of a five-video series that I'm embarked in. It may be more videos than the five. I think it's a five-day consecutive cycle, which coincidentally will be later today at time of this taping. Within that series, we've been practicing there at the end of each video section some Qigong exercises. And I'm going to wait to talk about that said individual by name there for a reason in another show. So what I've been extrapolating in my own research prior to watching those said videos, practicing very much so knockoffs of Qigong, but practicing the motions and the exercises. Now within that four video segment that I'm self-teaching with a lot of sources about Qigong, Ronin, samurais, and shoguns came up in the history of the Japanese culture. So I want to talk a little bit about samurais and ronins here, pretty much probably for the balance of the show today. So let's take a deep, calming breath. So samurai and ronin are indeed closely linked, yet distinctive figures in the tapestry of feudal Japan. And we're delving into Qigong, most assuredly for its appreciation in the element of being a warrior in the martial arts element inside of it, not to minimize that, but more as another way to go beyond our five senses. And I talked about, so designated, the five senses can be our enemies. I believe I talked about that in yesterday's show. So this is kind of the network for people that are just coming in to try to rapidly bring you up to snuff. Do check out the archival shows, please. For those of you that did, this is pretty much where we're segueing into now. So samurai, elite warriors belonging to the upper class. The samurais were known for their mastery of swordsmanship, archery, and indeed martial arts. Bound by Bushido, we'll get into Bushido in more depth in subsequent episodes coming up, but to skirt it here a little tiny bit, they adhered to a strict code of honor, emphasizing loyalty, discipline, and self-sacrifice. In serving their masters, samurais pledged allegiance to the Daimyo, feudal lords, leading military campaigns and managing lands and maintaining order within the ancient Japanese culture. Symbols of prestige, their status carried considerable social power and influence in that time. Ronin, which is a masterless samurai, literally meaning wave, W-A-V-E, men, quotation fingers, wave men. Ronin were samurais who had lost their lords due to death, defeat, or disfavor. So living on the fringes, struggling to earn a living, they often took on mercenary work. They taught martial arts, or even became bandits. Complicated reputation. While some were viewed as honorable outcasts, others were seen as volatile and unpredictable. Fueling social change, large numbers of Ronin during the periods of political unrest contributed to rebellions and power struggles. Their connection was transformation. Samurai could become Ronin, and some Ronin, through skill and circumstance, could rejoin the samurai ranks. Their shared skills, both mastered similar combat techniques and were bound by the Bushido, that's B-U-S-H-I-D-O, code, albeit with nuanced interpretations for Ronin. Duality and perception. Both the samurai and the Ronin were actually romanticized and demonized kind of simultaneously in various cultural depictions. So while both the samurai and Ronin were skilled warriors, their lack of affiliation significantly shaped their paths and their perceptions. The samurai represented the established order, while the Ronin, R-O-N-I-N, embodied the potential for both rebellion and innovation in a society shaped by loyalty and upheaval. So let's take a deep calming breath and segue right into the Ronin's path, finding Zen in the absence of a master. So welcome to Zen and the Art of Wandering in today's podcast, where we are exploring the intersection of Zen Buddhist philosophy and the lives of those who walk unconventional paths. Today, we're going to turn our attention to the fascinating figures of the Ronin, the masteries and the masterless samurai of feudal Japan. What is Ronin? A Ronin was a samurai who, for various reasons, had lost their lord or master, as we said a moment ago. This could be due to death of their daimyo, defeat in battle, or even dishonorable actions that actually led to their dismissal. Without a master to serve, the Ronin found themselves in a kind of limbo, existing on the fringes, literally, of society and their villages and their culture and so forth. Zen and the Ronin's journey. For many, Ronin or Zen Buddhism provided a spiritual anchor in the midst of their uncertain existence. Zen's emphasis on mindlessness, self-reliance, and acceptance of impermanence resonated deeply within their circumstances. So through Zen practices like meditation and Zazen, Z-A-Z-E-N, Ronin could find solace and solace and clarity in the midst, in the middle of their challenges. They could learn to let go of attachments to the past and embrace the present moment to find purpose in their wandering lives. So let's take a deep calming breath, take a 10-second break, when we come back, we'll talk about the Lone Wanderer, a little bit more about Ronins and their relationship with samurais in the Japanese culture. All-encompassing. Qigong. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. Thanks for doing so. And let's continue. Deep calming breath. The Lone Wanderer. Picture an image, if you could, of the solitary Ronin wandering the countryside, which for them became a powerful symbol and eventually in Japanese culture overall. This figure, if you will, imagining wandering the countryside of their villages, that figure in and of itself represents the individual that's actually seeking truth and meaning outside the confines of what was then the conventional society. Flash forward. So apropos is here we are now in 2024, third day of. The Ronin's journey can be seen as a metaphor for the spiritual path itself. Just as the Ronin must navigate the wilderness without a map or a guide. The Zen student must learn to rely on their own inner wisdom and intuition to find enlightenment. So the paradox of the masterless, while Zen offered solace and guidance, it also presented a paradox for the Ronin. After all, the traditional image of the Zen master is that of a teacher with disciples, guiding them on a path to enlightenment. How could a masterless samurai find their way without a master to instruct them? The answer lies in the very essence of Zen. Zen teaches the enlightenment, in that enlightenment itself is not something that can be bestowed upon you by another person. It's a journey of self-discovery that each individual must undertake on their own. The Ronin's legacy and the Ronin story is a reminder that even in the face of uncertainty and loss, there is always a path forward. Zen Buddhism offers a powerful set of tools for navigating the changes of life. Whether we are samurai facing the unknown or simply individuals seeking meaning in our own lives, so apropos for where we are in 2024 and where we have been for decades, preconditioned, brainwashed. We're also coming off the backside now that it's Wednesday, January 3rd, 2024. Again, Happy New Year. Of coming off our weekly coherence meeting on each and every Tuesday evening, freedomsnap.org, led there by our guide, mediator, meditator, Seth Lee Brzezinski, where we talk about heart-brain coherence and coherence overall, and how getting in touch with our organs and these vibrations and the meridians, which we'll get back to in a moment, are all interconnected in our neural fiber highway. And again, this is all about putting us in touch with the innate trait that in a lot of cases remains extremely dormant inside the human populace. So the Ronin story is a reminder that even in the face of uncertainty and loss, there's always a path forward. So let's take another deep calming breath. Take another quick 10-second break and come back and try to outline a little bit of an overview here, which we'll go into deeper in future shows, with some in-studio expertise coming up as the calendar year fetters out. Talking about Shogun versus Daimyo. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. Thanks for doing so. Let's continue. Deep calming breath. So Shogun versus Daimyo, D-A-I-M-Y-O. The power structure, while the Shogun was the titular head, T-A-T-U-L-A-R, they actually had the title as head of the military government. The actual power often resided with the individual Daimyo, D-A-I-M-Y-O. Powerful feudal lords who controlled samurai within their domains. The Shogun's role was more one of maintaining an overall balance and preventing any Daimyo from becoming too powerful. I guess their informal way at the time of a check and balance system. Eyes of the beholder. Ronin is not just rebels. Reasons for becoming a Ronin at that time, while some Ronin did indeed rebel against their Daimyo, becoming outlaws or bandits, Many others lost their masters, as we said, due to death, defeat, or changes within the clan hierarchy. These Ronin often sought new employment as mercenaries, bodyguards, or even teachers of martial arts. The skills and status that Ronins weren't necessarily impoverished. The skilled Ronin could command high prices for their services, even achieving greater wealth and autonomy than the samurai bound to a specific daimyo. So the samurai rebellions, the internal power struggles within the culture, the rebellions against authority often emerged from within the samurai class itself, driven by internal power struggles, competition for resources, and discontent with the shogunate policies. Ronin could be involved in these rebellions, but they weren't the sole driving force. Although, depending on your sources and history and recap and folklore, they very much were accused of being such in many adaptations of the history of. So diversity of Ronin, the Bushido, B-U-S-H-I-D-O, Bushido, in its evolution, the Ronin, like the samurai, were bound by the Bushido code of honor. While interpretations of Bushido could vary, it wasn't simply a tool for blind obedience. Some Ronin evoked Bushido values to justify rebellion against tyrannical lords or corrupt practices. So the social roles and contributions beyond rebels or mercenaries, Ronin contributed to society in various ways. Some became artists, poets, or even Zen monks, enriching the Japanese culture with their unique perspectives. So shifting the dynamics, transformation of the samurai class as that was occurring over time, the samurai class transitioned from primarily warriors to bureaucrats and administrators. This shift affected both the samurai and the Ronin, blurring the lines between them and offering new opportunities for social mobility, underlying theme of what we're talking about here today and moving forward for the mind, the body, and the soul, getting the conscious mind in touch with the subconscious mind. So the story of the samurai, Ronin, and the shogunate is a far more complex than simple categories of control and rebellion that kind of sort of have been the broad-based terms for the culture overall. Again, depending on your source of resource and research. Understanding the diverse motivations, skills, and roles of the Ronin reveals a richer tapestry of Japanese history where loyalty, rebellion, and resilience, the three R's, if you will, two R's and one L, loyalty, rebellion, and resilience, intermingled in unexpected ways. Deep calming breath, starting to segue out for this episode. References that you can find of your own volition on the World Wide Web. Some examples here. A Life Forged in Steel. Miyamoto Musashi, Miyamoto, M-I-Y-A-M-O-T-O, Musashi, spelled M-U-S-A-S-H-I, the Ronin who mastered the sword and beyond, held in high regard within that culture. A Life Forged in Steel, Miyamoto Musashi, 1584 to 1645, wasn't your average Ronin. He wasn't just a master swordsman who dueled his way through life, though he certainly did plenty of that. Real quickly, you actually were formalized, challenged within all different ranks. You actually would get a letter, per se, or a written notice that so-and-so actually challenged you to these samurai duels. So Musashi was actually also a philosopher, strategist, artist, and author, leaving behind a legacy that transcends the battlefield, which he was pretty impressive on. I don't know, on some 600 plus challenges, if you will, he was totally undefeated. So online, Wikipedia gets into that. Miyamoto Musashi, Japanese swordsman. You may want to, you know, seek out that source as a neutral source or for your own edification. Born into a time of war and upheaval, Musashi honed his swordsmanship from a young age. Legend has it, his first duel was at age 13, and by age 16, he already had defeated a renowned swordsman. Throughout his life, he participated in over 60 duels, emerging undefeated, and that actually is well in excess of 600. Again, that's Wikipedia's version of folklore. Will tell you that it was a lifetime of duels for him. And it's very interesting, his very last one. You may want to seek that out. But Musashi was more than just a fighter. He was a thinker, and his most famous work, The Book of Five Rings, is a testament to that. This treatise on strategy goes beyond swordsmanship, offering insights into warfare, business, and even life itself. The Books of Five Rings, it's most assuredly on Amazon. You can check that out if you're not familiar with it. The Way of the Sword, The Way of Life. Musashi's philosophy revolved around the concept of Niten Ichu Ryu. That's NitenIchiryu in quotation marks. Or the two heaven as one style. This wasn't just a sword fighting technique, it was a way of life. It emphasized balance, adaptability, and understanding the opponent's mind as much as their physical strengths. Beyond the blade, Musashi's artistic pursuits. Musashi wasn't just a master of the sword, he was a master of the brush. His calligraphy and paintings are admired for their simplicity and power, echoing the simple principles he applied to swordsmanship. That's available on the World Wide Web, budojapan.com. Miyamoto Musashi's calligraphy, fascinating subject. A legacy that endures. Miyamoto Musashi's story continues to inspire people today. He is a reminder that true mastery lives and lies not just in physical prowess, but also in mental discipline, food for the mind, the body, and the soul. Strategic thinking, deep understanding of oneself and the world around us. Again, freedomsnap.org, each and every Tuesday, and the peripheral events here in Maine that emanate every Thursday and Saturday. Join us, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Beyond the safety guidelines, understanding the importance of following safety guidelines and creating content that is inclusive and respectful as we understand the cultures around the world. I strive to present information accurately and objectively, hopefully perceived as such, the harbinger of good information. Avoiding harmful stereotypes, and we do not promote violence in any way, shape, form, or manner, or negativity. My goal is to share knowledge and inspire curiosity. I believe that Musashi's story embodies these values as I get familiar with my aforementioned Qigong studies in this particular video series that I've been talking about. So, quickly phasing out here, playing on that. Qigong, your way to subconscious superpowers. Grandpa Bell. Welcome back again to this episode today as we phase out BH Sales Chemical Holistic Healing Hour. Yesterday, we actually dipped our paws into the magic of meridians, those invisible rivers of energy coursing through our bodies. And today, we've grabbed our oars and gone through a wild paddle using Qigong exercises, which I'll dive into via videos real soon, Workouts for Geriatrics, aka Silver Streakers, good for all kids from 1 to 92, all subjects, physical workouts, resistance bands, free weights, nutrition, all things senior citizenry and senior healthcare, but good for all kids 1 to 92 and all generations. Qigong exercises dive into the depths of our subconscious, something that we're highlighting at the aforementioned freedomsnap.org. I'm not mentioning anything there. I'm a blessed audience message. And remember, that's all personified and conveyed from Seth Rozanski. Grandpa Bill, now Qigong ain't just some fancy yoga for fancy folks. It's been around for centuries, used by wise folks in China to cultivate health, happiness, and, as we'll discover, a powerful connection to their inner selves. Think of it as a whole body tune-up that unlocks hidden doors in your brain. The first exercise, quickly outlining it here, we will do some videos on this. Let's shake off the dust bunnies, stand tall, feet shoulder width apart, arms like windmills at your sides, shake, shimmy, wiggle, get those joints lubricated. This ain't no ballroom dance, mind you. Be a wild dog chasing squirrels, a happy hound rolling in the mud. Remember, we freelance. Feel the energy shift, the cobwebs clearing. Boom, subconscious door number one, ajar right there. Try it, you'll like it. Next, let's tap into the energy of Earth's wisdom. Stand rooted like an ancient oak tree. Eyes closed, imagine your spine connecting to the heart of the planet. Breathe deep, slow, feel the energy flowing up from the ground, filling your bones with strength, your mind with clarity. Subconscious door number two, Monty Hall, wide open. Let's make a deal. The 60s game show, Grandpa Bill goofing around with one of my holograms as I do these meditations. Sound of deep rhythmic breathing and peaceful music, whatever that is for yourself. Try it. Ashma music. We've talked about it many times. You'll see me with background music dancing around again real soon. The sound of gentle wind and ethereal music's a great one. Now it's time to paint with the wind. Open your arms wide like you're hugging the whole sky. Sway gently. Feel the air dance around you, whispering secrets in your ears. Imagine colors, shapes, feelings, anything that pops into your head that gives you joy, comfort, and brings that smile to your face. Go beyond the five senses. Challenge yourself. Get to that sweet spot. Check the egos. Leave them at the door. We're all apes. Get out of the vortex, monkey minds. 95% worldwide. Main Street, Portland, Maine, USA, around the world. Come join the 5%. Welcome. Daily soldier and learning daily. See, partners, Qigong ain't just exercise. It's an adventure. With each mindful movement, we're unlocking hidden chambers of our being, accessing parts of our five senses and what they simply can't reach. We're going beyond. It's like having a chat with your own soul. It is having a chat with your own soul. Learning its dreams, its fears, and its hidden wisdom that's in there. Think of a heartfelt conversation you've had, however that transpired for yourself and your dynamic and demographic. So go ahead, give it a try. Woof it down at a park, stretch it out in your living room, wiggle your tail to the moon. Qigong is for everyone, from seasoned shamans to pups just like us discovering their inner howl. And who knows what treasures you might find within. Bark like a dog. Eat fecal matter and bark at the moon like a wolf. Grandpa Bill getting wild and crazy. That's all for today, folks. Tune in next time when we'll explore the power of herbs to heal the body and awaken the spirit. Until then, remember the greatest journey is the one within you. Happy sniffing, tail wagging, and subconscious exploring. There's an element of this for our animals too. We'll talk about meditation with animals. You've seen my two. They meditate with me all the time. Qigong for dogs, cats, humans, beyond the five senses, unlock your subconscious, holistic healing, our prowess. Bark your truth, BH Sales Kennel Kelp. Qigong with Grandpa Bill, wag your way to self-discovery, unlocking the canine cosmos. Qigong for dogs, wolves, wild animals, and our wild beasts within us, we humans. Adventures for the curious pup within all of us. Howl at the moon, dig up your dreams. Qigong and the power of the subconscious. From Bach to Buddha, exploring the inner landscape with Qigong. Continue to pay it forward. Have a safe and productive day. Bye-bye for now, and may God bless. Peace, everybody.